If you're familiar with my doings of things, you're expecting an outline, which you're not going to get. Just wasn't clicking for me, so it didn't happen. But if you'll just open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, we'll get something done. So if you're familiar with Romans, which you should have some familiarity by now, you know this structure of the way that Paul does things when he writes these letters. It's really kind of cool. It's like the first half of the letter, and it's not obviously exactly half here. This is well into Romans. But Paul a lot of times will give all of the spiritual truth in the beginning. He'll just he'll lay out the mechanics of how things work in the spiritual realm. And then after that, it'll be rubber meets the road. How do we put these things into practice? Like, he'll give us truths, deep spiritual truths, and he won't say anything about changing how you live or those sorts. He'll just give the, this is how it works. Like for instance, in Romans chapter 6, he gives us how the spiritual life works. How can we live differently? How can we overcome sin? How can we be declared right? All these things he says, this is how it works. And then, in Romans chapter 12, he starts into, this is what it looks like. This is the rubber meets the road. You say all this stuff, words are cheap. Now let's see how you live. Do these words that we study, is it just theology? Is it just academics? Or does it change how you live? If it doesn't change how you live, not much has happened. There's no real value. So, as we start here in chapter 12, it's going to start off with this word that we're familiar with. And if you have studied the Bible at all, you know that this word is used a lot. And that word is?
Therefore.
And we have this little saying that we like to, it spins in my head every time I read it, you know it. It's, what's the therefore, therefore? And so, it says something. That first word in chapter 12, you go, oh, there's a change here. Something's going on. There's a change in the letter, and he's saying, think about what God did to declare us righteous, justified, declared righteous as if we had never sinned. You remember we started off, we're all in the same boat, we're all sinners, we're separated from God. What are we going to do? And then we had this long process of how that gap is bridged, how we come back to God, how we put our trust in Him, how it's by faith alone, in Christ alone, we're declared righteous in the substitutional death of Jesus. And in Romans chapter 6, how we can overcome sin in our own lives, how we can live differently with by faith that we reckon to be true. We're dead to sin, but alive to Christ. So, when we see that, therefore, he's referring back to all that, the cause of the tremendous depth of all the stuff we've just studied in Romans, in view of God's mercy, he's done all this stuff. Therefore, something happened. The ball's in your court. God's saying, I'd like a response. Well, Paul is saying this, God's saying it through Paul. I would like a response from you now. Like a response in your life. You know all this truth. It's been over and over. You've studied it. You've read it. Now, therefore, and in view of God's mercy, I want you to respond. You see, God requires stuff. We like to talk about, and it's true, of grace. We don't earn our relationship with God. We don't earn our way to heaven. But does God have expectations of you? Sorry, he does. He has expectations of a changed life. He does. Different ways of thinking, different ways of acting, different ways of speaking, different ways of treating people. He has expectations. Therefore, all this stuff has been provided for you, and in view of God's mercy, I better read the exact words here. So follow along, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. What do you imagine right there? When you read that verse, what do you think about? It might not be deep enough. Because I know when I think about that, I'm thinking about Old Testament sacrifices. The animal goes on the altar. It's a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma to God. And I kind of think along those terms. And so I'm thinking sort of my physical body. You guys, my physical body, I'm giving my body, my physical being to God. So let's give that back to God. Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. But it's really what it's referring to here is your whole self. It's about surrender. It's offering, it's giving yourself. Now here's the cool thing is that it's not a dead sacrifice. Now it's going to be, it's going to be something that carries on. It's a to God. Now, to kind of take that apart just a little bit, we could spend all day on that. We really could. We could, and we have before. If you remember back in the old days, if you were here in the old days, we talked about surrender a lot. We had this thing called the surrender sheet. I think you probably can still look it up on the website. I'm not sure. Is that true, Lisa? Never mind. Surrender sheet. And it would go through all these things in your life that you surrender and give over to God. We won't go through that now. But some things happen sins are paid for. Holy Spirit comes to live in you. Jesus living in you. So, there's a response. There's a response. In your old life, you had your own goals, ambitions, dreams, visions, hobbies. You. All this stuff that's you. Well, do you remember in the life of the disciples? It says that they gave up everything and they followed Jesus. That's what is being asked of you, is that you were going this way. Let's say, whatever, your plans for, most of you are beyond this, but your plans for college, your plans for career, your plans for life, whatever. And these guys had that same thing, these disciples. So they did a 180. Now, everything is for Jesus, for His calling. What is the calling of Jesus? What does He call? What call does He put on our life? One, to bring glory and honor to God, right? And to make disciples. To reach the world. To make disciples. So we'll get into that in just a minute, a little bit more. But here's something that He wants from you. So, their own, whatever's going to make them happy. No longer moving towards that time of retirement when they could just kick back and play golf every day or whatever it is they wanted to do. Now everything was for God's purposes in the world. Which, what He's saying here is pretty heavy. It's like, you buy a car, you buy a house, you have a career, you get married, all those things has a different, completely different flavor to it now. Because you do those things for the purposes of God in the world. And the disciples did that, right? They did that 180. And they said that, Jesus, this there was something more. And it was the hard part. To die to self. They would have been identified with the death of Jesus on the cross. Let's read a verse that really, I think, gives a picture of that. We read this before in connection with Romans. But if you go to Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now, I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. So back to Romans 12. So He wants them to do something before they start serving, before they start laboring for God in the world. He wants something to happen. He wants something to happen in their life. And if it doesn't happen, then all their labor is in vain. their work is in vain, their service is in vain, unless this thing, even their 180 they did, they're just thinking about the disciples, all that's in vain unless this thing happens, unless they die to self by faith. And, well, let's read on here. I think we'll get the picture here. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So a lot of times now we think of worship as what we just did. We sing songs and we worship, and it is worship. But think about the best kind of worship. What's the best thing? The best worship is a life that looks like Jesus. And that's the best compliment, isn't it? Imitation? You know, next door over here in the gym, I had this kind of crazy little experience. I don't think I told you about it even. I didn't tell anybody about this. But it's like, there's a guy that wants to get strong. He wants to squat a lot of weight. He wants to get strong. And I used to do that. I used to squat a lot of weight. That used to be one of my things. Just squatting heavy, jumping, running, those kind of things. And so, this guy knows that. He knows I still have a few remnants where I can still do a little bit of it. He knows that. So he sees me and he says, that guy can squat. I want to squat like Steve. I want to lift. I want to lift like that. And gradually, over time, I'm watching him squat and he's getting stronger. He's doing good. And I looked at him one day and I'm squatting and I say, he looks just like me. This won't mean that much to you. The bar's low on his back. Sticks his rear way behind him. He has a bend at the hips. And it's like, that's me squatting. He looks just like me. And then I'm going, he's bent over a little far. And I'm going, oh, I do that. I bent over just a little bit too far. He imitated me exactly. He's doing what I did. And I thought, and in one sense, I'm like, well, that's a compliment. You know, he wanted to get stronger. And he just started lifting. He started lifting just like me. He looks like me. And I thought, and then if somebody else sees him lifting and they know me, then history, they're going to say, he squats just like Steve. It's like, so in one sense, that was a great compliment to me. He's imitating me. And everybody can go, hey, Steve used to be a big squatter. He's squatting like Steve. He's going to squat big someday. But obviously, it's also like, I want to make sure I do this right. If he's following in my steps and doing what I do, and so this, you see how this carries so far, both in making disciples, but also in we imitate Jesus. That is the greatest compliment, is if we, that is worship. We like to think of work. You know, worship is easy. You know, it really is. The music is good. It makes your heart pound a little bit. You may get some chills up your back, you know, and you can belt it out and sing. Some of you even like to dance a little bit. Worship is nice, man. Don't you want to come and just worship? That's like, I'm sorry, that's not the highest worship. The highest worship is you look like Jesus. You live like Jesus. The only way to live like Jesus, to look like Jesus, is if you get out of the way. That's the only way. How do you get out of the way? You can't do that on your own. Romans 6:11. I reckon it to be true that I am dead to sin, but alive to Christ. For I've been, Galatians 2, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when I get up tomorrow, if I just ignore that and I just go on and live like Steve, it's not a good thing. By the end of the day, I've got anger, I've got anxiousness, I've got whatever else you struggle with, jealousy, whatever it is. But to die to self, to live like Jesus, and you see, that can happen in one day. But if it happens in one day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, if it keeps adding up, there is a growth process that takes place. And pretty soon, you are conformed to the image of God. You know, I know I've shared this with some of you before. This was way back in the Wyoming days. And I was sharing with this guy, Kirk, and I've shared this story so many times because it was so impacting to me of what he said as a non-believer. I mean, living out in the world, in the Wyoming thing of chasing what few women there were and fighting the many guys there were and driving his Jeep crazy through Evanston and like just being a wild man riding his mountain bike 100 miles an hour down the mountain and living to the hilt and just going for it. And he said to me, and I was sharing with him one day, we're in the gym, of course, and I'm sharing with him, we're talking, and we're starting to like really get into it, and we're like back and forth, almost on the verge of arguing. And he said, "Steve, man, I can give up all that stuff. I can give up all that stuff. I cannot go to the bars. I cannot do that stuff. I can put that behind me. But you're asking me to give up of myself. I can't do that." I said, "Whoa, where did that come from?" He understands before he's even a believer what most believers don't understand. I wish somehow, even this morning, I wish this morning, if I had the ability, and I don't, I would cut you open and do open heart surgery and implant something in you that's truth. If you would just get this, if I would just get this, to die to self and to live for Christ. You see, He doesn't want just your job. He doesn't just want your abilities and the gifts and the things that you do. He does want those things. I'm not going to lie to you. But He wants something far, far more valuable, far more challenging than those things. Today, this day, He wants all of you, all for your bodies. Remember, that body is not just your physical body. All for your whole self to God as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It means you can't just offer it and then it's a done deal. It means you offer it and then you get up and you live it every day. It means you put your trust in Him tomorrow. You reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ. Then you grow. You become. If you're not growing, if you're not looking more like Christ, then you're not living the Christian life. This is not the standard up here that only a few are to attain. This is the standard. You are to forsake all and follow Christ. What is more important to you than this? People talk, and the thing, people don't get this as they get older. I know so many older Christians, and I get frustrated. They say, they're going to retire, they're going to play golf, they're going to fish, they're going to hunt, they're going to do whatever. I'm going, you just do not understand that you have everything you have and every purpose of yours should have turned. You should now belong to Jesus. And everything you do. So now we're going to start talking about how does this affect our interaction together. We're going to get into that in just a minute. So here we go. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world, you see, is not just sinful things. It is sinful things. And that is horrendous damage to God and to His people. But it's talking too about just don't live like the world lives. That means you don't pursue the things the world pursues. I'm not just pursuing a nice home and a good family. Those are good things. But those are not my focus. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What renews your mind? Well, it's like those verses we just were talking about, Galatians 2:20. That renews your mind. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've quoted, that's why I can say it. I've quoted it. I didn't try to memorize that verse. It's that I read it a million times trying to be changed. And then they believe it. You don't just read it. It's not, you know, reading the Bible doesn't transform your mind. That's nice. Read the Bible, understand it, study. It's believing it. It's applying it. It's letting it enter into you. To where I understand that this means that when I recognize that my old self was on the cross, has no power over me, but Jesus will live His life through me. He'll do great and miraculous things that I cannot do. But because I am trusting Him, I can live, not just live differently as in not sinning. That is such a low goal. It's living like Christ and it's changing the world and everybody around you. And he's going to tell us how we do that in just a minute. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is. So many times we pray about God's will and seek God's will. He's already told us very plainly what His will is. His will is to go into all the world and make disciples. What's the best means for you to do that? Well, that's not my call. That's you, Steve. You're up front there. Well, I've been up front here and I've not been up front here and it still hasn't changed my call. My call is the same. It's to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't you want to live a pleasing life to God? This pleasing where you are the aroma of Christ to God. Because you are a living sacrifice being poured out every day for His purpose and His cause in the world. And then he goes down to verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more of yourself more highly than you ought, but in rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So, he's about to get into something here, that God's going to use you, okay? He has given you certain gifts and abilities, and He's going to use you. And Debbie alluded to this a little bit earlier, but, so, if He gifts you to do a job, let's say He gifted Brenna, and I believe He did, to be up here and lead worship. Okay, so that gifting is not about musical talent. It's not about having a good voice. Now those things at some level are kind of necessary, right? Or it's going to be a total distraction. So, but those things are, although, can I tell you one more story? Back in Wyoming, through some of our group, we saw this guy, this cowboy, come to know Jesus. And we were attending a little church, not much bigger than ours. And he'd been in the oil field and cowboying and doing all this stuff. He didn't know how churches work. He came in and like sat out and he had just become a believer. And so people are sharing or something. He stands up and he says, "Well, can I sing you a song?" Everybody goes, "Oh, okay." The guy could not sing. But he'd just become a believer. God had put this song on his heart that he wrote. He stands up. He didn't know any better. He just starts singing his song. I wish I could remember. I just remember what it did to me. It was like, I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. I was challenged. I was encouraged. I was like, I wanted to live for Jesus. I was like, whoa, this is just awesome. I wish everybody would do this. God used him in that moment. And you see, He gifts us. When we are in step with the Spirit, when we are doing the things God... It's like, you know those people, don't you, that serve? They come over, they'll cut your grass, they'll build something you need or whatever. When somebody does something and they do it in the strength that Christ has given, when they have crucified self, when Jesus is living in them, Jesus shows up to cut your grass. It's not just going to be about cutting the grass, is it? When Jesus shows up to cut your grass, it may bring you to tears. And it's not even what He says. It's just, it's how God chooses to work. He uses us in our lives, not just to help each other, but to change the world. So, this guy changed my perspective on everything because he was being Jesus. And that was a brand new baby believer was being Jesus. Have you ever noticed, you know, we're all called to hospitality? But some people are gifted at hospitality. So, you show up at their house, they invite you over, you show up at their house, not expecting anything, you walk through the door, and things start changing for you. You start looking at things a little differently, your perspective changes, you want to live a little differently. That's gifted. So, back to Brenna. I was going somewhere. Brenna's up here, leading worship, and all of a sudden you find yourself really praising God. Really worshiping, and the, some song just like grabs you. It's like, what a friend we have in Jesus. Did that maybe like get to you a little bit? It's like, so that's how God strengthens, encourages us through the gifts. What? So we can be one happy family? By no means. I'm telling you, by no means is that His goal for us. It's to be one little happy family. He wants us to be soldiers and to go out and change the world at all risk. At all risk. Risk it all. It's not safe. It's not safe. And it's not easy. But if we just stay in a little huddle and tell each other everything's okay and we have a happy family, we're killing it. So our gifts, yeah, we serve each other with our gifts. But it's for a purpose, it's for a higher call, it's for the purposes of Jesus in the world, and it is costly. All for, why does it use that kind of terminology? All for your bodies as living sacrifices. It's saying everything is different for you now. You've done a 180. You're on the cross. Jesus is living through you, a resurrected life. Now, when God uses you like that, I'm back to you, Brenna. She walks out of here and you go, oh, Brenda, that was just beautiful. That's, thank you so much. That was just awesome. You're so wonderful. And Brenda goes, I'm not so bad. Yeah, I'm getting pretty good at this. She would not do that. For sake of example. So it says here, hey, be careful though. God's going to use you mightily. Brenda, God's going to use you. Benjamin, God's going to use you like crazy. But be careful. Be careful. When He uses you, don't you start to think that you're something. But you're not. Dead to self. Dead to self. Alive to Christ. And He will do things you never thought possible. You've been limiting Him because you've just been looking at yourself and what abilities and things you have. And you have nothing. But you know, there's another aspect to this as we go through this. Shall we keep reading? Let's go down. So we just read that. That's the thing of sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many form one body, each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. In other words, I don't care what your gift is. Just do it. Just use it. Well, I don't know what it is. Just do something. Do what comes natural. Just take the next step. Now, here's the thing. We have to be careful with gifts. I'm a proponent of gifts are powerful, powerful things. Whether it's a gift of hospitality, a gift of serving, a gift of mercy, a gift of teaching. This is a grave responsibility that I have right here to teach you. This is huge. But it's also a grave responsibility to go and serve somebody, to cut the grass. It's a grave responsibility to have mercy and to show them. You see, some people have a gift of mercy. So let's take that one for example. It can be misused. Just as sure as teaching can be. You've probably seen teaching misused. You've probably seen these things misused. So something like mercy. See, what does mercy do? When somebody offers mercy to another person, do they not open their heart up? Does that not open your heart up to somebody when they offer you mercy? It kind of opens your heart up to them. There are people that will, once you open your heart to them, they cannot resist the temptation then to take advantage of you in some shape, form, or fashion and to use that. And it works both ways. For the person to offer mercy, the other person knows how to take advantage. It works both ways. So, we have to be careful with these gifts that they are not self-motivated. Even when they're not spirit-controlled, there's still a power there that can be misused. So whatever gift that you have, and you do have one, it's so vital that you are dead to self but alive to Christ, the life of Jesus being lived out in you, so you can use your gift in the way it was intended, not in a sinful way. Yes, you can use a gift in a sinful way. And there, you will be held accountable for that if that is the case. You will be. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraged, then give encouragement. Man, don't you love those people in the body that have the gift of encouragement? You know, they know how to bolster you up. Encouragement. You know what? That means like they give you courage. Aren't there people, when you rub shoulders with them, they give you courage to face life. They give you courage to tackle your problems. They give you courage to take risk. So if you have the gift of encouragement, come on. Do some encouraging. Do what God has called you to, but don't lose the big picture. What's the big picture? The big picture is you were in your former days. And I'm not talking about horrible sin, okay? Yeah, it does include that. But it may be you had all these good ambitions and you were going to change the world through your own strength and you're going to do this. But all of a sudden, it's a 180. Now, everything is about the cause and the purpose of Christ in the world. You study hard and you work hard because God is going to use that to change people's lives for eternity. The other part is dying to self. That's the hard part. Surrender. Are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with God? You need to be at peace with God. What does that mean? It means that you have love, you have joy, you have peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and the ones I'm lift out to. Goodness. When you trust Him, then you live the life He was intended to when you die to self. You see, we like to focus on the trust part. We don't so much like to focus on the die to self part. But that is key. Surrender to Him, to His will, to His purposes in the world. And then you'll be able to put your gifts to work. Then you'll be able to do what God's called you to do with power. All right, let's pray. Then we'll have a song. Lord, we just thank You for each person that is here this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word that changes our lives, challenges, encourages us. We really thank You for that. Pray You'd guide us now as we that we would be quiet in our hearts, be quiet in our minds. We would listen to You and respond. Ask for Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.